¿Qué quiero?
Now, if you think about it this week, you can pray for Pat Kiefer because she's got her hands full with four young kids. Jeff and Rebecca are on their way to California. Connie and I are going to join them on Tuesday, but as CNMA missionaries, they have to be there early in Long Beach for this Christian and Missionary Alliance. Yeah. Two of them are twins, two of the girls are twins, all the way down to a three-year-old. Grandparents love kids, but sometimes it's nice to go home. Take them home. Our scripture reading this morning is found in the New Testament book of Galatians. Darcy Cotton's going to come and read for us.
Good morning, my big, beautiful family. Good morning. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge in the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Amen.
Wow. Powerful passage, huh? We could do Thomas Jefferson pulled out his big scissors and what he didn't like in the Bible, he just kind of cut it out. That would be, man, we cut that one out, right? Several years ago, and I know this will probably date me, there was a popular song, Looking for Love in All the Wrong Places. Let's see all you old people. You remember that? Yeah. You can still hear it now and then if you...
Valerie knows it.
Valerie knows it. She's young. If you turn on a country station or something, they might be playing it. But I'd like to paraphrase that statement just a little bit and look at it this way. Looking for joy in all the wrong places. Amen. Looking for joy. If you look for joy in all the wrong places, look at what you find. According to this list in Galatians 5, verses 19 through 20, if you look for joy in all the wrong places, this is what you're going to find. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery. That means live any way you want. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. Meaning it's not an exhaustive list. There's others that you could add to that. I mean, what a way to live. Talk about why he starts this passage with freedom. Because those things are nothing but bondage. Chains of bondage. Yes, let's be honest. Some of those things give temporary pleasure and some fun. We can't deny that. Some of us did some of those things, right? Yes. And it'll give some fun. It'll give some temporary pleasure. But nothing lasting, nothing permanent, nothing deep, no real joy. And I know that there are some of you probably here today that you're lacking real joy. You have found some temporary pleasure and some temporary fun, but there's no real joy. And so this begs the question, how do you experience real joy? I'm not talking about fun. I'm not talking about pleasure. I'm not even talking about happiness. You know, the life, liberty, and a pursuit of happiness. That's fine. Declaration of Independence. But God's Word talks about joy. Joy means a very deep emotion of pleasure and gladness. I'm reading through Psalms right now in my personal devotional time, and it's amazing how often that word gladness comes up in the NIV translation. I want you to catch this. Biblical, the root word in the Greek in the New Testament, biblically, the word for joy and the word for grace have the same root word. Very amazing. And it is the word char, C-H-A-R, transliterated from the Greek into English. Joy is chara, and Greek is charis. Same root word. And what that tells us is that grace comes from God, right? We can't produce grace. It's nothing that we do. It comes from God. And the same thing is true for joy that you're going to see deeply, I think, in a moment, that joy comes from God. We cannot create joy. Oh, we might fabricate pleasure. We might fabricate fun. And we might even pursue happiness. But like grace, joy only comes from God. God created us with the capacity and the need to experience real joy. That's His will for us. That is His will for you. So if you're not experiencing joy, and again, I'm not talking about pleasure, I'm not talking about fun, I'm not even talking about happiness, I'm talking about deep joy. If you're not experiencing that, that is not God's will for you. He wants you to experience joy. Think about Jesus, and I just want to quote one very interesting passage from the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 2. Speaking about Jesus, it says, "He who, for the joy set before Him, endured the cross." Galatians 5, which we just heard, lists joy as one of the fruits of the Spirit. And all those things are not things that we can manufacture in and of ourselves. They come from the work of the Holy Spirit. They come from God. That root word, again, keep in mind, same for joy, same for grace. It comes from Him, and it comes to us via the choices that we make. It comes through the choices that we make in life. And what Galatians 5 does for us is it provides us with God's way to experience joy. Are you hearing me okay?
We went low.
We went low. Just two. Okay, we're off. Maybe it's batteries, I don't know. I feel my Italian kicking in today. I don't know if I can speak without my hands moving. Okay? We must have lost. Maybe the batteries died or something, Chris. Okay, I'll try this, you know. God wants us to experience joy, but He wants us to experience it His way. And from Galatians 5, I believe there are three choices that we have to make. And what I want us to do this morning is to look at these three choices. You may find four, you may only see two, but I see three just for a handle for us to hold on to. Three choices that we need to make part of our daily lives if we want to experience the joy that God wants us to have. Here's choice number one. The choice not to live by the flesh or our sinful nature. The choice not to live by our flesh or our sinful nature. Verse 17. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other. Sinful nature involves our flesh. And it isn't simply limited to our flesh and blood. The word flesh here involves our life choices that are focusing on what pleases us. Our self-pleasing choices. Forget God, forget Jesus, forget the Holy Spirit, forget others. What pleases me? That's self-pleasing, that's the flesh. And that is in conflict with what the Holy Spirit desires for us. It is contrary to the will of God, and the will of God is always for our good. He wants us to experience joy. But there is a major conflict raging within us. There is a battle going on. Even for us to profess Jesus as Lord and Savior, when we've given our lives to Jesus Christ, there's still a battle. The spirit and the flesh, meaning our choices to please our own sinful, self-centered desires, it is raging within us. And that battle is there. But if we want to experience joy, we have to make choices not to live according to the flesh, our self-centered, self-pleasing, fleshly nature. Verse 4 provides us with this fantastic challenge. Those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Strong statement, huh? You say, well, wait a minute, Pastor. I thought Jesus died for all my sin. He's the one who died on the cross. And now you're quoting Paul from Galatians, and it's talking about something here being crucified. No, we don't go to the cross and die physically, but I'm telling you that sinful nature has to be crucified. And that involves a serious crisis of our wills. Amen. Yes, amen. Have we made the willful choice to crucify our sinful desires? Don't miss that. Have we made the willful choice? Becomes a crisis in our lives. The willful choice to crucify our sinful desires. In other words, have we died to our self-pleasing, self-centered life? Who are we living for? Are we living for ourselves, or are we living for Jesus Christ? See, Sunday morning sermon, worship, nice atmosphere, beautiful day. Yeah, Pastor, I'm living for Jesus. I've made the decision for Jesus. But what about Monday afternoon? Well, now we're faced, and the spirit and the flesh, our sinful desires, our self-pleasing desires, they're battling, and we have to make a choice. There will never be real joy if we choose to live for our self-pleasing desires. It will never happen. Temporary pleasure, fun, maybe a little bit of happiness, but no real joy. You'll never experience joy. And you look at that list in verses 19 and 20. You see some of the very deep, moving things going on there. And we go, oh, I would never be involved in that. I could never be involved in debauchery or orgies. But what about envy and factions and drunkenness and the like? Monday afternoon or Friday night, Saturday, the battle is going to rage. I'm following you, Jesus. I'm following you. And then that old self-pleasing nature kicks in and rears its ugly head and goes, oh, come on, come on. This is not going to hurt anybody. It's not going to hurt anybody. It just once you can deal with it, and you deserve it. I mean, you deserve it, right? You had a rough week. You had a bad time, and your wife or your spouse or your kids or your parents or your boss or somebody looked at you funny or said something to you, and you say, yep, okay, I'll do it. And there will be no joy. No joy, because the fruit of that self-pleasing, self-centered, sinful nature life is just the opposite of joy. Fun, pleasure, maybe for a while. But then the guilt and the hurt begin to creep in. You look at that list that I read just a few moments ago. See, if any of those things are in your life today, and the Holy Spirit knows you, and he's pointing his finger right at your heart right now, saying, that's there. It's got to go. There will be no joy until that is taken care of. And that particular thing is crucified. No, you don't go to the cross, but that thing has to be crucified. That thing has to be nailed to the cross with Jesus and say, I died to that. This is a Christ-centered life versus a self-centered life, and it becomes our choice if we want to experience real joy. The second choice, the choice not to live by the law, verse 18. It is very clear, but if you're led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And I say, praise God. Verse 23 adds, against such things there is no law. And Paul adds, listen, if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. And here he's talking about Old Testament law. The book of Galatians, the Apostle Paul is responding to the religious people that have crept into the church in Galatia, and they were called the Judaizers, where they were taking faith in Jesus Christ, the gospel, and mixing in the Old Testament law, moral, ceremonial, civil, said if you're not circumcised, you can't be saved, etc., etc. And Paul goes, oh, you guys, that's just not nice of you. No, Paul says some very potent words. He says, cursed, that's anathema, that's heresy. I demand that you stop teaching that right now. And Paul says that they are eternally condemned. Read chapter 1 of Galatians, verse 9. See, real joy, God's joy, can never be found in keeping the law or trying to be religious. Amen. And Galatians becomes God's profound prescription to keep us from slipping into that, quote, law-keeping as, okay, God, I'm pleasing you. Look at me. Look at what I'm doing. I'm keeping the law, and I'm keeping my interpretation of it or somebody else's interpretation of it. And God, look at me. You know what's going to happen? Is there any one of you here that has kept the law perfectly? Would you please raise your hand? Whew, man. Nobody raised their hand. Thank you. Because if you had raised your hand, you had to come see me in my office tomorrow. We're going to talk about conceit and deception. We can't keep the law perfectly. It's impossible. Religion and Old Testament law keeping or attempt to keep it never produce real joy. Never. Because you're never able to do enough law or be religious enough. And the results of that, no matter how hard you try, it's going to be condemnation and guilt. And I tell you, over my years of being a pastor, I've seen that in professing Christians' lives. And not only do they begin to feel the guilt and the condemnation, but it begins to rub off on others. Hey, you, see, you're not keeping the law the way I think you ought to keep it. You're not keeping the moral law, the ceremonial law, the civil law. And you're not meeting up to our standards, and so it begins to produce condemnation and guilt in other people's lives. Are you looking for joy? That's what we're talking about today. Are you looking for joy in all the wrong places? Trying to keep the Old Testament law and trying to be religious. It won't work. You'll never find it. God's way is never that way. We'll get to it in a moment. The opposite of that. I know there's a lot of concern in our nation that we have drifted away from God. And certainly there's probably a lot of truth to that. And since I've got the pulpit this morning and you don't, I get to talk. You know, there's a lot of concern about coins taken In God We Trust off of coins, that doesn't bother me at all. You know, but Pastor, we're drifting away from God. I want to know whose God is on that coin. Is it Allah? Is it some Buddhist God? Then I don't trust in any of those gods. I'd much rather see on that coin, In Jesus Christ We Trust.
Amen.
But that'll never happen in America. A lot of people get upset because they want to see the Ten Commandments posted in a lot of places. It doesn't bother me at all. And I know some of you just can't wait to talk to me later. Well, you can't take me to lunch. Connie and I are going to lunch together, so maybe when I get back from California, we'll talk. It's not that I'm against the Ten Commandments. I'm not. But can you imagine the Ten Commandments being established as the law of the land in the United States? Think about it for a moment. How are you going to enforce it? Don't raise your hand. I mean, please don't raise your hand. We really don't want to know. Is there anybody here this morning that has ever committed adultery? You're dead. You're dead. Is there any kids here this morning that have ever been rebellious against your parents? You're dead. I'm serious. How many have ever gone to a restaurant on Sunday? I have, and I'm going to Red Lobster later. That was Connie's choice. Blue laws in the United States came about because some people interpreted Sunday now as the Sabbath. And if you're going to keep the Sabbath, you got to shut down businesses, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, you know. And the Sabbath was never changed to Sunday. Don't ever believe anybody's lie. Sabbath is still sundown Friday to sundown Saturday. But my point is, how if we establish the Ten Commandments as a basis for law in the United States, who's going to enforce it, and how are you going to enforce it? And then most of us are going to end up dead. We live under Jesus' law of love. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. See, if I love my neighbor as myself, I'm not going to cheat on their spouse. I'm not going to go steal their property or steal their house or their car. I'm not going to envy and covet them. If you follow Jesus, you're going to automatically fulfill the Ten Commandments. I'm telling you.
Amen.
You will.
Amen.
You can't follow Jesus and say, well, I'm going to live any way I want. That's antinomianism. I'll do what I want. But we don't become legalistic and pharisaical legalistic. Real joy does not come by just trying to be religious and trying to keep the Old Testament law. Third choice, the choice to live by the Holy Spirit. What an exciting way to live. Verse 16, Paul says, so I say, after all this kind of negative stuff, so I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Man, that's how I want to live. Verse 25, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Every Christian, everyone that has been born again by God's Holy Spirit, he's indwelt by God's Holy Spirit. Apart from Jesus Christ, we're dead. Our spirits are dead. Paul says in Romans 1 that when we're born again, we're, quote, saved. We confess our sin and trust Jesus. We've repented. We trust Him as our Lord and Savior. His Holy Spirit comes and indwells us. I can't define that scientifically. I can't explain it mathematically. I can't even explain it philosophically, but theologically, God says it's done. The Holy Spirit indwells us. And joy, real joy, is a byproduct of the indwelling Holy Spirit as we choose to live by the Spirit
who indwells us and empowers us, and then keep in step with the Spirit moment by moment as we live and walk in His presence. It becomes an automatic growth product when we live by the Spirit. Show me a Christian not experiencing real joy, and I'll show you one not living by the Spirit, or one not keeping in step with the Spirit. To live by the Spirit means that we choose not to live for self. That's choice number one. To live by the Spirit means we choose not to live by the Old Testament law or some kind of religious interpretation of it. To live by the Spirit means that we choose to become the kind of person that He will make us. And that He will transform us and He will change us by His Spirit that indwells us to become Christ-like people. Amen. I remind us that God created us. And that inside of every one of us there is a Spirit-shaped vacuum. Or, if you please, a Jesus Christ-shaped vacuum in every one of us. You let that vacuum remain empty. I don't care how much you profess to be born again and follow Jesus Christ. If you let that vacuum be emptied, there will be no real joy. And then very subtly, all these temporal pleasures and these fleeting moments of fun on the list that Paul's mentioned that we've just read will begin to creep into your life. And so God the Father knows what we need. He knows that we need His Holy Spirit to change us. Do you see why it's so important that earlier I mentioned that the Greek word for joy and the Greek word for grace come from the same root? Both of them have the root meaning in that they come from God. Joy comes from God. You can't produce it. You can't manufacture it. Just like grace, you can't manufacture it. He knows it is only there as a byproduct when we learn to live by the Spirit and keep in step with the Spirit. So don't buy Satan's lies about your sinful nature desires. They will not produce lasting joy. It will not. It's impossible. Don't believe Satan's lies that it's just because you're going to be religious and you're going to kind of work at being this Christian thing, you know. I'm going to go to church and I'm going to read my Bible and all those kind of nice things. Which is nothing wrong with going to church and reading your Bible, but that does not produce joy. It's a work of God's Spirit that indwells us when we surrender to whatever He wants to do and however He wants to change us and transform us. And then we can experience that because of what He is doing in our lives. And the Holy Spirit indwelt life, keeping in step with the Spirit, becomes a choice. Have you been born again? Been indwelt by His Holy Spirit? Are you in step with His Spirit? Theologically, let me just tack this on. This is what we call sanctification in theological circles. It's the process of allowing the Holy Spirit to transform us and to change us into Christ-like people. It's not where I sit back and say, I'm going to be more like Jesus today. I'm going to be more like Jesus today. Let's see, what can I do? I can read my Bible more verses, and I can pray more, and I can do this, and I can do that. Nope. And say, Jesus, I've crucified my sinful nature and I give it all to You. Now You change me any way and any how You want. You change me. You know what needs to be changed and what needs to be dealt with. And then you watch the joy begin to flow. And what an exciting way to live. Three choices, let me summarize quickly, for experiencing real joy. The choice not to live by our sinful nature. The choice not to live by the Old Testament law or some religious interpretation of it. The choice to live by the indwelt and empowering life of the Holy Spirit, where we learn to keep in step with Him and in His presence. Moment by moment, we breathe in His presence. Lord, change me, transform me any way You want. Are you experiencing real joy today? You can. It's God's will for you. Make the right choices. He wants us to experience that joy. What choices are you making in your life? Let's stand and pray. Talk to God for a moment quietly. And I know without a doubt the Holy Spirit has come and He's put His finger on some things in your life. And you're struggling. And some things need to be crucified. Bring them to the cross of Jesus. Let them die there. And then let His Holy Spirit transform you. Thank you, Jesus, for your presence with us today in your word and the power of your Spirit. Lord Jesus, we love you. We magnify you. And we pray that you will have free reign to do whatever is necessary to make us the kind of people that you want, that we will experience that joy that's there for us. As we leave here, let us breathe in your presence and keep in step with your Spirit, Lord, I pray. Amen. We're dismissed.